I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind, and I really want to hear from you, our listeners. Connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter, and please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also mean a great deal to us if you would leave a review on iTunes, because that will help others find the show. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Jason Resnick. Jason is a freelance web developer focused on growing e-commerce businesses through optimization and automation, with a focus on WordPress and WooCommerce-based websites. Jason helps businesses increase sales, sometimes quite dramatically. Jason, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me, David. Glad to be here.
You and I have gotten to know each other a little bit, and I know that you've gone through a transformation as a business owner that is quite remarkable and that many people aspire to achieve. And I wondered if you could talk a little bit about what you've gone through and then maybe a little bit about how you came to the realization that you needed to do that.
I am a freelance web developer, and like most freelance web developers, when I started out, I took on pretty much any project that somebody was willing to pay me for. So it was Ruby on Rails, custom PHP work, WordPress, pretty much anything. I went on for 2 years doing that, and what I found was that I was bouncing from technology to technology and falling behind in the past technologies. So for example, if I was working on a Ruby on Rails project, let's say that project lasted 6 months. Then I took on a 3-month PHP project. For those 3 months, I was concentrating on PHP, so I didn't keep up with what was going on very effectively with the Ruby on Rails space. So then if I landed a WordPress project at the end of it, so the Ruby on Rails was even falling farther behind. So what started happening inside of my own head was that it was like this ping pong match of trying to always feel like I was trying to catch up. That was kind of exhausting, and it was holding me back. What I wanted to try to figure out how to do was scale my business so that I didn't always feel like I was chasing my tail. I felt that I wasn't able to really become the expert that some folks wanted me to become. I decided to look at my business in a way that was analyzing my current clients as well as analyzing the requests that I was getting in from potential new clients. And what I found was most folks were looking for WordPress sites. And for me, my current clients, the WordPress ecology, how you use the site and everything, is very simple. So I was like, okay, let me jump all in on WordPress. I'm going to leave Ruby on Rails behind, leave custom PHP projects behind, and really focus in on WordPress. At that point, I was really starting to get a lot of influx of projects because everything I was doing was WordPress based. So that's kind of where my marketing was going, what I was talking about, the community that I was being a part of. I also started a podcast as well that was just a developer-centric WordPress podcast. So from that point on, it came to a point where it was very similar to before. I was starting to get varying projects, sometimes e-commerce projects, sometimes custom integrations. It was all over the map. What I really enjoyed working with was e-commerce. That's where my agency background was from. For me, I liked e-commerce because it really affects the bottom line of some small businesses. I focused and turned my freelance contract-based, project-based business into a productized service. Small businesses hire me to help them optimize their online stores to increase their sales through their website. What I did was I basically automated and really systemized my business. From everything from customer service to onboarding to lead generation and sales, everything around my business is very structured and automated, but the actual work that I do is very custom. And I did it in that way because I wanted to make sure that the custom work that I did was of a high value and high quality. The other stuff, administration work and all that stuff, I didn't want to go out and hire somebody to do those things if I could figure out a way to automate that stuff. If there became hiccups, then I'd address it. But over 3 years into it, I haven't had too much of a problem. It was a big win because it scaled my business in a way that I didn't have before. I haven't been in that famine portion of that feast or famine cycle that freelancers go through in a number of years now, and it's been predictable for me.
I've heard a number of steps in what you've just described that you probably asked yourself and that perhaps those listening might think about asking themselves as they're going through the strategic thinking that you went through to try to narrow your focus. And it's interesting how people are really resistant to having a narrow focus. The truth is that the narrower our offering, the easier it is to market it. People don't realize that. It seems counterintuitive, but it's true. Some of the questions that I've heard you ask yourself are, what are most clients asking me to do? What do I enjoy doing the most? What has the greatest impact on my ideal client? And what can I automate in my processes along the way so that I can start to focus on doing as few things as possible and then automating them and scaling them?
Spot on. I kind of went through those questions in a certain way. I actually call it my freelancer framework. Finding out what you enjoy doing, finding out what your clients are willing to pay for, finding out what their biggest pain point is, which is critical. For me, the biggest pain point was that everybody can make a website nowadays. There's tons of software out there that allows you to put up a nice looking website right away. And similarly, you can put up an online store fairly easily as well. But then people wonder why they're not getting sales through it, or they're wondering why they're seeing plenty of visits to their online store, but they're not seeing too many checkouts. I started getting the requests in to help optimize their online stores to increase sales. So they were basically telling me what their biggest pain point was. And for me, that was the biggest revelation because it aligned what my client's pain point was with what I enjoyed doing.
For those who may not be familiar with the intricacies of WordPress development, what does optimization mean?
Optimization means tracking what's going on your site now, measuring those results, and then coming up with insights based around those results to implement some change. So, for example, the shocking stat is that over 2/3 of somebody that comes to an online store will leave with products in their shopping cart. That could mean for any different reasons. It could be, oh, I just don't want to buy it right now, or you're saving it for later. Or that could mean that they're looking on their cell phone and they try to add something to the cart and it adds it, but on the cell phone, it doesn't show it, or there's some break or something like that. So what I help businesses do is basically optimize their checkout flow for the least resistance from being a shopper to being a customer.
That's actually a great insight.
Yeah. And for me, it's kind of shocking to see sometimes as a business owner, we're so close to what we build and we think it works great. And then when we put it out into the wild, that's when things are blatantly obvious that we're missed. A lot of online stores have that happen. I always tell my clients, look at how Amazon.com makes their checkout process. A lot of people want it to look good, look pretty, and everything. And then they take all of those elements that makes their site look great, and they put that into the cart page and the checkout page. So now you have navigation, you have related products, and you have all these things inside of these two pivotal pages on your website, and it becomes very distracting to the shopper. They might see something like a related product, and then they, instead of them actually clicking the checkout button, they get distracted and they go look at that product, and then their son or daughter calls them to go do something, and now you just lost that sale. Amazon.com does a great job, but when you look at the cart and the checkout page on Amazon.com, you'll actually have nothing else to do other than checkout.
Keep the customer focused.
Yep.
Amazon is really good at that.
If anybody wants to model their online store after Amazon, then they're going to have some success.
Jason, how did you first realize that there were elements in your business that had to change? And were there places that you reached out for help?
One of the things that I needed to change was the ability to be getting paid without actually having my hands on the keyboard. When I started questioning my business was, one, when my head was going back and forth. Two, it was also the fact that I was getting married within a year and we were going on a 3-week honeymoon. So I started looking at this year ahead of time, thinking to myself, what's going to happen to my business if I'm not actually doing any work for 3 weeks at a time? If I'm not billing hours, if I'm not charging clients for work that I'm doing, how am I going to get paid for this? That was eye-opening because I didn't know what kind of effect that would have in my business months down the line when that lull hit. That was not in line with my original goals of going freelancing. Freelancing for me, I wanted to have flexibility to spend time with friends and family, take vacations, things like that. And I realized what I was building was actually doing the reverse of that. It was actually tying me to my desk even more so than a full-time job at that point.
It's interesting that freelancer has the word free in it.
Yeah, I hate that.
Were there places that you reached out for help to try to figure this out?
Yeah, when I hit the wall of trying to figure out my business, it was either transforming my business or going back to a full-time job. The first thing was I reached out to my then fiance at the time and I told her what was on my mind. I said, maybe I should go get a full-time job. Maybe this isn't working out. Maybe I took the wrong path, or maybe I don't have the skill set to run a business. And she was extremely supportive. And she says, listen, I know that that's not what you want to do. I know you want to work with the clients. You have great client base now. I don't know what it's going to take to transition or get you to where you need to, but she was very supportive. And she was just basically, we'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Don't go looking for a job. Do what you need to do. That was like the kick that I needed. I reached out to several freelancers that I knew that were farther down the road than I was. They said, well, you're at that 2-year mark. Freelancers hit this 2-year wall. They come into a spot where they wonder whether or not they want to continue doing what they're doing or go back to a job. A couple of the freelancers I talked to, they kind of put it in my head, you know, maybe niching down a little bit more, raising rates, charging by the week or the month instead of by the hour. Then I found Brian Castle. He talked about productizing services. That kind of aligned with the feedback that I was getting about, you know, charging monthly or weekly. I was like, okay, productizing services. Let me see what this whole idea brings forth. And what he was talking about was basically looking at your business, documenting things, seeing where you can automate things if you can. A lot of what he talks about is really documentation and then offloading it to somebody else to do. Me as a developer, if I have to repeat a manual process twice, I want to figure out a way to automate it. I went down the route of documenting what I was doing, and then let me see if I can come up with a way to automate it in some way. I found Zapier and IFTTT, as well as custom scripts that I've written and things like that to handle a lot of that stuff.
Brian actually has some great examples about how to productize and streamline your business. He was a guest on this podcast, and he has some great tips.
I mean, I've spoken to Brian for a couple of years now. You know, it's fantastic. I mean, he knows my business. I've been on his podcast. The insights that he has for being able to document what you do on an everyday basis with extreme detail, that may seem like a lot of time, and it does take a lot of time to do, but in the long run, it'll save you heaps of time.
You're also pointing out how hard it is to identify what it is you need to change on your own in order to smash a plateau, and how important personal help is, how important help from professionals who are ahead of you in your journey to see what they may have done that you can model, to look at people like Brian as an example. Those are all great tips. There's this interesting sort of a myth in our culture that success, particularly as an entrepreneur or as a business leader, is something that we should be able to figure out on our own. The truth is, people who manage to have breakthroughs, generally there's a lot of hard work behind it, a lot of steps along the way, and a lot of help from different resources.
I knew early on that I was strictly a developer. To this day, I get potential clients coming in saying, I need a new design. And I have to explain the difference between design and development. I always offload design to trusted design resources. So that was very easy early on. But as far as being able to do administrative business work, sales, marketing, all that stuff, you realize eventually that you can't do it all. I have a writer that I use. She helps me with the blog posts, bookkeeping, all of that kind of stuff. You need people with you, whether you're a solopreneur or not. Now, I do all the development myself, but even just to run a successful business, there's skill sets that you need to bring in-house in some way to help you do things. Otherwise, you're just never going
to
sleep.
And I've actually yet to meet a solopreneur who really is solo.
Yeah.
So Jason, I wonder if we could talk about somebody else who you know personally, who you see as doing really remarkable work.
Sure. His name is Tom Harrigan. He works for an agency in New York City that is also a WordPress-based agency. He was instrumental in contributing to the WordPress community. He's a critical cog in the wheel at the agency that he works with. He's a community leader inside of WordPress in the New York space. He's always out there helping people, new developers, business owners. He's constantly helping people break through whatever their problems might be.
Yeah, it's always remarkable to watch people who are able to do that take on leadership roles in a sector.
And Tom's definitely crushing it. He's definitely a young go-getter for sure. He's going to do great work at the agency that he's at.
Great. Now, turning back to you, Jason, what are you working on now? What's exciting?
Over the past 2 years, I've been, with the help of Tom giving me that push over the edge, I've been inside the WordPress space helping other WordPress developers and designers shape their business, kind of like in the same model that I did. I've spoken at WordCamps about it and spoken at WordPress meetups about productizing your WordPress service. I've been really looking at branching out a little bit more into the freelance space and doing that in a more formal way. I've started looking to build a freelancing course as well as some other products. Some of the documents and the ways that I've shaped my business, I will be selling as a product line to help other freelancers build their business in a sustainable way.
So it's interesting to hear how you were able to scale your business based on that niche, but now you're expanding your niche in a different way, but also to meet the need of what you're hearing from the marketplace.
That's right. The reason why I even started talking at WordCamps and meetups about how I built my business was because people were just walking up to me and even hitting me up on Twitter and Facebook and asking, how did you just scale down your business to do just that and charge monthly?
How can people learn more about you and what you're up to, both in the WordPress area and also what you're doing in the freelance space?
Go to rez.com, that's REZZZ.com, or find me on Twitter at rez.
Jason, this has been a really fascinating conversation about your journey with your business, how you've made it work for you, and now how you're beginning to make it work for other people as well. So thank you for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been WordPress and WooCommerce web developer and also freelancer expert, Jason Resnick. Thank you again, Jason, for joining us.
Thanks again for having me, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. What has your experience been getting help when you've hit a plateau? What would you like to learn through this podcast that would give you the support you need? Let's continue the discussion. Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter, and please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also help a great deal if you would write a review on iTunes so that new people can find us. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for spending some of it with us today.